Welcome back, everybody. Episode 125, the best dang NXT podcast on the planet, draped in gold. As always, I'm Global Boys, and I'm celebrating. I'm doing a little two-step in the corner, but I'm not alone because I'm being joined by the guy who looks so great on camera, and he sounds so majestic as well, the real Jack Farmer. What's going on, sir?
You know, I'm having a crabby day. It's not a good day so far.
A crabby day?
Flobo, not in a good mood, but I am excited to chat about this NXT that I think will brighten my spirits because the event this week was incredible. I mean, I don't want to spill the beans for everybody, but we start with a wrap-up of Halloween Havoc, which already feels like it was 2 months ago. But this week, this event felt like it was a special event. We had so many great matchups. We were treated this time.
Is that a picture of you in the back there?
Yes, it is.
Do you just have 8x10?
Flobo,
I just noticed
that. Flobo, it's bigger than an 8x10.
You can't explain this.
So I'm already breaking. So a good friend of mine, a friend of both of ours, Andy Rossi, he was doing a show. He's making a movie. He makes movies, and he made this short, and I kicked into the Kickstarter. And he said, hey, for kicking in, I'm going to put a picture of you in the background of the movie. And I said, oh, that's kind of fun. I did not realize it was going to be a massive photo of me. And so in the film, which should be out, I don't know when it's going to be out, but it should be out soon, right. I guess. It's called Surprise to See Me. It's this massive photo of me in the movie, and then he gave it to me afterwards as a little gift.
It looks like you're running for office back there.
Well, it was great. He had me sign it and everything. It was fun. It's fun. It's a great movie, by the way. Surprise to See Me.
It is now.
You can follow it on social media, but it's the premise is, you know, you watch these movies, Flobo, and some powerful individual comes home and all the lights are off. And when they turn the lights on, there's a hitman in the chair waiting for them. And they say something like, surprise to see me. This movie is about what the hitman is doing while he's waiting for this person to come home.
It's going on their phone probably, but no, so, I'll check it out. That's a cool premise.
It's a comedy. It's fun. It's a silly movie. It's of the similar vibe of the movie Dead Body, which is actually available on multiple streaming platforms now, I believe on Tubi and Amazon. So you can check those out as well.
Well, I give a big shout out to everyone in the chat right now. Amanda Russ, Pop Princess, and Peter Effin Joseph. We're streaming live right now on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on X, Twitch, YouTube, and Trovo. Two couple more quick notes before we get started here today. One, got to give a big birthday shout out to our number one Australian correspondent, Dylan Matthews. Happy birthday.
Hey! Good day, mate. Good birthday, mate.
That's the worst accent I've ever heard.
the embarrassing flow is that's my best accent.
Okay, all right. That was the best accent I've ever
heard. It's only downhill from there for all other accents I do.
This sounds like a true story. Jack has like two voices. That's it. And he uses it for everything.
It really is true.
And more importantly, I guess, or less importantly, because Dylan Matthews is the number one guy, NXT has hit the Google Trends because they actually had a signing with CW Network. So if you put NXT out there, it's actually confirmed that starting next year, NXT will be on the CW Network. That's broadcast television, even though it's kind of a fluid term these days with cord cutting and all that. Jack Farmer could be the biggest platform for NXT ever.
I think NXT fits really well on CW. At least last time I watched CW, well, you know, there's like generations of CW, you know what I mean? Where like, depending on, it feels like it's almost like SNL casts with CW. People are like, oh, this was the best SNL cast era. This was this era, that era. CW is kind of the same way where you have your, this era of CW was when I watched or whatnot. So, I think it'll be cool.
Care to expound? What was your era then?
No, I care not to expound. I like to
Creek.
My
definitely my, Dawson's Creek guy.
I was around for the Dawson's.
He's definitely an Everwood guy. Straight up Everwood.
I mean, who wasn't just crushing over James Vanderbeek back?
That's a very tough question to answer, sir.
But I want to give a shout out to Peter Joseph, I believe, a friend of the Wrestling Inc. podcast, making a migration over to Draped in Gold. happy to see, as well as Monj and Pop Princess, as always. Always appreciate you guys.
Oh, no, they figured us out. We have the show on Wednesday afternoons, too. Oh, no, run away. All right, so let's get into it. Before we even get to the matches here today, I want to talk about, to me, my favorite story in all of professional wrestling, the saga of Trick Mello Gang. It looks like Trick Williams won in answers, but Carmelo was in the ring this weekend, but it had a little bit of computations and permutations. Lexus King gets involved. A punch hurled around the world. Jack Farmer. Is this the beginning of the end?
I want to go on record right now. And I want everyone to know. And I hope Trick Williams is watching. I believe Carmelo Hayes 100%. I think Trick Williams needs to just put all of these doubts, all of these conspiracy theories, all of these crazy thoughts aside and just realize that Carmelo Hayes has been there for him from the beginning. What does Carmelo Hayes have to gain from attacking his good friend? And I think you can see that Trick Williams is just all tied up for some reason in this. He's even contradicting himself as he's talking out here. He's like, hey, I was always there for you. I want to be alone. Why aren't you there for me? I mean, I think Trick Williams is just getting emotional. He's caught up in all this stuff. And I really want Trick Williams to stop what he's doing, think about it, and then apologize for doubting Carmelo Hayes.
So it's one of those things where I won't agree with you, Jack. I really felt like it was almost too obvious that it was Carmelo Hayes. We got a little bit of a twist and or red herring. So I'm on with the joke. But yes, Lexus King makes an appearance, which is something what, even though Trick Williams set up for comedic effects, came out of absolutely left field. But we all know the best way to make an impact is beating people up backstage. Could Lexus King be the big bad after all?
No, Lexus King is just incredibly intelligent. You know, a lot of times these guys who are second generation stars, we just think that maybe they've been training in a wrestling ring their whole life and that's what makes them good. But what really makes them smart is their ability to manipulate how people view things. Lexus King, he's the new guy in town. He's got to find a way to get to the top. And the top of the roster at NXT has two massive gatekeepers, one Trick Williams, the other Carmelo Hayes. Why go through them yourself when you can get them to go through each other instead? Lexus King right now, he's playing chess. Everyone else is just playing checkers.
I guess so, but he almost got punched, did not. And I would say NXT had one of the more disturbing ending scenes I've seen since Von Wagner got his head crushed in, but survived somehow. With Carmelo Hayes just seething angry, but still keeping that embrace of your homie. Maybe Carmelo did it after all. Seeds of doubt are being planted in my brain. What if Carmelo did do it? Maybe this was something where the new version of Carmelo we were asking for weeks, that edge to come back.
Flobo, if you were just punched in the face, what would you be feeling in that moment?
Ouchies.
Even if it was an accident, even if you totally forgave Trick Williams, he just got punched in the face. You expect to be smiling and laughing and giggling? No, he got punched in the face. Of course he had a scowl on his face. Of course he's upset.
That was not a scowl, brother. That was beyond a scowl.
Of course he was mad. He just got punched in the face. It doesn't matter if it's from your friend or a foe or whatever. You got punched. Of course he's upset.
Oh, yeah. Well, come on. Monj is saying that Melo joins Lashley, et cetera, and the Street Profits. Please don't. I think Melo's, at this point, way better than what the Street Profits and Lashley are doing. And I'm just saying that with love and adoration. I like Lashley. I like the Street Profits, but they are working things out, whereas Carmelo needs to be aligned himself with someone who's already figured themselves out. Just putting it out there.
We have to stop as wrestling fans trying to pair everybody up in groups.
Yeah.
You know who the greats are? The ones that go solo. The ones that do it on their own. You know what I mean?
Yeah, wait. Hey, don't leave me. You know, I love your giant novelty photo of yourself in the background. I need you. I need you, Jack. Please don't
go. Well, I'm going to have to punch you in the face.
Okay. That makes sense. And it was fade to black. Let's get into actual ring fisticuffs today, because one of your favorites, Akira Tozawa, appeared on NXT for his Heritage Cup match against Supernova 11, Noam Dar. And for, even though there are longer championships in professional wrestling, Noam Dar seems to be hand to glove with that Heritage Cup. He eventually gets the win here. But Akira, tried as he might, came up just a bit short. I guess someone could really handle your boy, homie.
I mean, listen, I'm a huge fan of Akira Tozawa, but I'm also a big fan of Noam Dar. This was a very tough match for me to watch because I love both these guys. but you can definitely see where the experience edge played a difference here, right? You look at Noam Dar first, round one, I should say. Tozawa could have gotten a point, but got distracted. I think that's because Akira Tozawa does not have a lot of history in these Heritage Cup matches, didn't understand the time, didn't understand the point system or something there, lost track of all that. But also, Noam Dar with the cheap shot after he got his first point, very smart. And also a lot of the ways that Noam Dar was bending the rules, because frankly, champion's advantage if he gets DQ'd. So what? Why not take advantage of those things? I don't think Akira Tozawa was ready for that. And the fact that Akira Tozawa didn't get the win, I blame solely on Chad Gable, the guy that's supposed to be getting him ready for these kind of things. And the fact that Metaphor, even though they were outnumbered this time around, absolutely helped their guy get the win here. I got to blame Chad Gable. I got to blame the Alpha Academy. Akira Tozawa could have been champion if maybe he had a better coach in his corner.
Arigato. Now, on a baseball podcast, people are complaining about the rule changes and all that. I feel the Heritage Cup has some rule changes that benefits Noam Dar. Now, in the UK version, if there was a tie after the full rounds, there'll be sudden death. Didn't go in that situation here today, but I do feel like it's the system as pretty much said Noam Dar would be a forever cup champion. That said, Alpha Academy took it to Noam Dar. If Akira Tozawa were to win tonight, would that have changed the course of the Heritage Cup, you think?
Well, of course it would have changed the course of the Heritage Cup. You would have had a different person holding it. But I don't like how you imply that the only reason that Noam Dar is the champion because of the system. When the system changes the rules, you need to adapt and change yourself. That's what makes Noam Dar so great. You don't look at someone like Steph Curry and say that, oh, he's just successful because the system allows for three-point shots to mean so much. No, he's taking advantage of the way the game is played today. You know, you don't blame Patrick Mahomes because the way the NFL rules work, that it's easier to throw touchdowns. No, you take advantage of that. You don't fault someone for taking advantage of the way the game is played. Noam Dar is just being smart.
Anyway, Alpha Academy, even in defeat, gets a ticket to Supernova Sessions next week, which is a talk show I want to see more of, unfortunately, because it's so damn fun to listen to. And I think Peter Joseph agrees, thinking Jakara Jackson, last legend of the women's tag team belt. At least they should be in the mix. I feel like if it would be a metaphor, they shouldn't be competing. I'm not sure they should be champions. But backstage, though, you got a little bit of fallout. The artist formerly known as Catch Point, Drew Gulak and the boys, were just jawjacking against Alpha Academy, got themselves a match. Otis against Drew Gulak, with Otis getting the dub. Now, Alpha Academy is 1-1 for the day. They're coming back next week. I don't know. Maybe they should stay at NXT for a while.
Well, I do want to address Jakara Jackson. She does have a cast on her arm, so I'm assuming that's what's keeping them out of tag team competition. And I assume once that she gets healthy again, we'll see them competing for those titles, because I'd like to see that as well. As far as Alpha Academy staying on NXT, I think they're entertaining. I'd like to see them stick around for sure.
I do
think that Drew Gulak, little unfair the way he was presented on this at this event, and a little unfair that he has to put a check mark in the loss column because of the way this went down.
Wait, well, hold on. How he present? He comes over looking slim, trim, full head of hair. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looks pretty great. I don't know what he presented. It was his challenge. He couldn't handle it. That's all it was.
I mean, yeah, of course he looks great. I mean, he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. But this is the thing. Drew Gulak is a strategist. He's a tactician. He's someone who needs to do a training camp. He doesn't just willy-nilly get into fights. He's not the brawling brutes. He's a professional. And so when he gets into a match with someone like Otis, when someone like Otis has a match, he's a power guy. Power guys always excel in matches that happen right away because they don't need to come up with a game plan. They just use brute force. This was something that put Drew Gulak behind the eight ball before the match even started. Now, Drew Gulak is a competitor. He likes to test himself. So, of course, he took the match. But reality, if this was booked for the next event, if this was booked for next week, Drew Gulak would be getting the dub.
You know, ever since he was a trainer in WWE 2K23, it all went downhill after that. I'm just putting it out there. Like, yeah, that makes sense.
You weren't better at 2K23 after Gulak taught you a little bit?
I mean, I'm a little loose, you know, but you know, I just that snapmare button is still really tricky here. I gotta give a shout out to Cedric Welton, because again, I always tease her every time Lola Vice shows up, and she wasn't this week as well. He has two questions, and I know we're going out of order, but I think it's pretty fun to watch. What's going on with Bo and Dante Chen and all the paint? If you want my opinion there, Cedric, I think it's the return of the spirit of Tian Shao. Because if you want to go long-term storytelling, once Mia Ying was defeated, Boa took on the spirit. And you saw as the weeks progressed that Dante Chen's getting more and more paint. I think the ghoulishness, even though I'm not a big spooky gimmick fan, as being shared between the two men. And I want your answer to this one here. Ava Rain went backstage, talked to HBK. What do you think was on her mind?
Well, I hope that she's asking about getting some matches, getting back in the ring. I think, obviously, we talk about second-generation wrestlers, third-generation wrestlers. Ava Rain has everything you need to be an absolute superstar, but she's missing something, and that is dubs.
She's matches first to get dubs. Like she's not losing. Well, she's not even competing.
Exactly. So if she's not in the ring, if she's not having matches, then the person she should talk to is Shawn Michaels. So I'm sure that she knows how this is done. She's going to Shawn Michaels. She's going to demand some time in that ring, and she's going to start racking up those wins. You got to be aggressive, Flobo. You can't just sit back and wait for things to happen. You got to go out and make it happen. And I think Ava Rain wouldn't shock me if we saw her in the ring very soon.
Speaking about general manager officer, it's not my favorite part of the show. It's general manager Pick'em. That's where I ask this guy, Jack Farmer, is if he's a phantom NXT GM, some questions that can help me understand how he would look if he was in charge of that ship and not run to the ground. Backstage this week, we saw Gabby Butler, who is a professional cheerleader and a star of Netflix's upcoming Cheer docuseries, appearing as NXT ambassador. If you had the power, which celeb would you appoint to be the NXT ambassador under your watch?
I guess I mean, if I could just pick
Tom Brady,
I could just pick anybody. I mean, I like money, so I would probably pick like a Taylor Swift or someone who's going to bring in massive ratings, right?
If she's going to decline, someone you could reasonably get. Like that's the whole point.
Well, then I think Gabby Butler from Netflix's Cheer is a great pick.
Okay, I just status quo, Jack Farmer.
Just
keep things the same.
Baby. I mean, if I could get anybody, I'm gonna get the biggest star going right now. Of course, you know, if I have to, you know, adjust. I guess you know this is who I would get. I would get Zac Efron because I think it pairs great with Iron Claw coming out. A pro wrestling movie, a superstar, a guy who looks the part. I think that would work.
Zac Efron on NXT prints money. I like that idea. And I love putting you on the spot. They both work out for me. we got to move on. And I think we have.
I just want more Taylor Swift in my pro wrestling.
Yeah, it sounded like you did. You really, this was a really quick answer. You're like, you know what? We need Taylor's version right here on NXT.
I mean, we could bring back Bad Blood, the pay-per-view, and have her song as the theme.
Don't do it. Kendrick's like, for really? I re-record my lyrics for this. but speaking of premium live events, Mick Foley made a cameo, a literal cameo, to announce some of the qualifying matches for the Iron Survivor Challenge. Now, I have been very vocal about my not being enthused about the Iron Survivor Challenge, but I'm here to give it another shot. Mick Foley himself had two qualifying matches. Let's talk about the first one right here. On the women's side, Tiffany Stratton and Fallon Henley last week had a match scheduled. Didn't really happen because of fisticuffs and shenanigans. This time, they had the match, and it was for the qualification for that Iron Survivor Challenge with, you know, your girl, Tiffany Stratton, getting the dub. The right person win here, because I feel like Fallon Henley should have won this one. I mean, she should have just been like, had a bit more aggressive, but she really wasn't in this contest, man.
First, I want to address Mick Foley. It's my biggest hope that the entire deal with Mick Foley was done literally via cameo. Like, I hope Shawn Michaels just ordered a cameo from Mick Foley asking him to pick something. And that's the whole deal. I hope there's no contract involved or any other thing. I hope Shawn Michaels literally just put in the order and then Mick Foley.
Like it was supposed to be last week, but Rick Flair was running behind his cameos.
Yes.
I was like, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. He did it along with all of his other just like, happy birthday, have a nice day. You know, right. Oh, I guess I got one from Shawn Michaels. Anyway,
the most important match of all time. Yeah.
That is my great hope there. But I was actually really impressed with Fallon Henley in this one. I thought she did a great job.
Really? Yeah.
I thought she did a fantastic job. I think she really pushed Tiffany Stratton in this one. And I mean, look, she didn't get the win, but I think that's expected. No disrespect to Fallon Henley, Tiffany Stratton is a former NXT champion. So of course she was the favorite in this one, but I haven't really seen her get pushed like this since she was in a match with Becky Lynch. So I thought Fallon Henley did great. But now, Flobo, I ask you, Tiffany Stratton has to be the favorite to win the Iron Survivor.
Look, yes, I see that. Because ever since that match against Becky Lynch, she has this hardcore Barbie thing going. I like it. She's the only one that's qualified, so she has a 100% chance of winning. 141 2/3 chance of winning. Yes, I think she is in line to be the second, be the number one contender. Her versus Lyra Valkyria is definitely, not a Haas match, but definitely a match that you'll see in the heavyweight class. However, man, I think Tiffany Stratton, as good as she is best served in that Baron Corbin role. I like people who walk around and hating everybody, fighting everyone. Doesn't matter what top or the bottom at 8:05 at 10 p.m. I want Tiffany Stratton in that spot instead of going for the title all the time.
Well, maybe if Shawn Michaels shoots you a cameo request, you can put that in with them. But
I'm not on cameo.
Tiffany Stratton is too good. She's going to win. She's so good. And by the way, I want to say just a little thing I want to throw in there. I love how they did the Xing out of Fallon Henley's photo. I think that's just a cool visual. I love any type of elimination scenario where it shows all the competitors, but then it starts Xing out the people who have been eliminated. I just think visually that's a cool thing.
I'm with you in that. I really thought that Fallon Henley would have had more of a fight. She didn't get that. But on another side note, we're getting more legends over the next couple of weeks, like JBL and Lita, and they are picking qualifying matches as well. And it does seem that they're really pushing that it could be anyone. Is there any kind of dark horse choices that you would think that you want to see in this, at least qualify for this match?
You, as qualifiers or people selecting?
As qualifiers, because, I mean, yeah, you select them to qualify, so.
As far as a dark horse goes, I think I would like to see... You are putting me on the spot here. I'm trying to think of someone spicy, but I think I'd like to see Baron Corbin. Maybe not a dark horse, but I think I'd like to see someone like Baron Corbin in there because Iron Survivor, someone like Baron Corbin has been in every type of matchup. He's been in every type of situation, but the Iron Survivor is new. So this is one of the few things that Baron Corbin has never found himself in. And I'd like to see how the veteran handles it.
Mom says, JBL's a legend. You better bite your tongue about the wrestling god. You know what? Look, I'm gonna stop it right here because this is like off topic. I know SmackDown has a storied history, and everyone talks about who ran SmackDown, and everyone says, "Oh man, Edge was on point, right?" But JBL was one of the best characters of all time, as definitely a character that I know him and I would never have a beer together, and I wanted him to lose every week, and he didn't because he had these simple ass moves like a pile driver and a lariat, and it was old school in the way the old school was. JBL deserves a lot more flowers. Loudmouth, yeah, sure. I didn't really align with his voter registration card last elections, but I will say JBL is a legend to have, and poo-poo for anyone who jokes otherwise. But
I agree. I'm a big JBL fan, actually. And I think that he did a lot of good. And one of the reasons I like him so much is, I had a friend who wasn't into pro wrestling, but he watched it every now and again because I was watching it. And JBL was the guy that he liked the most because he's so over the top and annoying and such a jerk. And everyone wanted to see him lose and he would giggle every time he won. So for me, I'm a big JBL supporter also.
The wrestling god. All right, let's get the other side of the Iron Survivor Challenge qualifier. Tyler Bate against Dijak. And here are two men that I always wanted more. I think they're in a good position. I think they're a very top of name, top of mind. We talk about who's on the roster. But Tyler Bate, we know, the first and last UK champion. Dijak, we said when he was Dominik Dijakovic, he's going to be the next big thing. Had a bit of a sidebar as T-Bar. In this match, I was surprised with the result, not because of strength, but because it felt like Tyler Bate couldn't lose. But it looks like he did. Dijak qualifies for the Iron Survivor Challenge on the men's side.
You know, I know it's our job to have opinions and like nitpick things and pull things apart and analyze and read into things and all that stuff. But sometimes you just got to sit back and say, we got a certified banger of a matchup between two guys on free TV. I know banger is an overused term in pro wrestling.
Only a Wrestling Inc. I'm fired. What the?
No, but this one, it was great. It was like these guys beat the crap out of each other. These guys both really wanted it. The only downside is one of them had to lose. I have nothing. I have no critiques to give Tyler Bate. I have nothing to say. He should have done it. The guy did everything he could have. It's unfortunate he's not going to get a shot, but I think that, I mean, Dijak in the Iron Survivor, if you're someone who's yet to qualify, you might want to think twice about trying to qualify.
I got two questions. They're kind of small, so I'll put them together. One, is it Dijak's time? And two, is Namaste really working for a big, strong boy? Does something else needs to happen for this guy?
I think he needs to give up Namaste. I think he needs
give
to...
give it up!
You know, sometimes you need to let your emotions run wild. Sometimes you need to get upset. Sometimes you need to storm into Shawn Michaels' office. Sometimes you need to attack someone backstage. Sometimes you need to do something different. Tyler Bate is someone who at the age of, he's like 17 now, right? He's so young. Every time I hear, I feel like he's one of the few people, every time you say how old he is, he's younger than the last time you heard.
Yeah,
but
26 years old as this recording.
He is so talented. He needs an edge. That's the difference. He needs something. He needs some teeth, as I like to say. He needs something to give him some claws, something to make him seem dangerous. Right now, totally talented, but just needs that difference to make himself a little more dangerous. And I don't know what that is, but the Namaste thing, if you look at his win-loss record, it's clearly not working. He needs a different approach.
Yeah, just for context, I mean, Tyler Bate's 26, which doesn't sound all that young, but he's been on WWE programming ever since his 18th or 19th birthday. So we've seen him for 6-7 years on screen, so it seems like he's been here forever because he has been here forever. Hopefully more championships are in his future.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of him. Maybe find an old friend and get back in the tag team race. I don't know.
What do you got in mind? Like a Trent Seven or like a Butch or like a
I guess both those work. I was thinking Trent Seven, you know, when I first said it, but I don't know what Trent Seven's availability is right now.
Okay.
But that's why I paused to say the name. But
probably text him then. Just go ahead.
I do think that I would love to see Mustache Mountain get back together for sure.
I'm with you. Speaking about a mountain, how about these two mountain of the men? Braun Breaker, Von Wagner, is supposed to be a redemption tour for Von. Didn't get the win, but got someone tabled. Braun Breaker gets the dub here, Jack, but ends up writhing in pain. Who really won out when you think about this here last night?
I'll tell you who didn't win.
The fans?
Mr. Stone.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Stone. I did not like what I saw here, Flobo, at this event. I did not like what happened. Clearly, Von Wagner was not ready to return. Clearly, he should not have been in this match. And that is Mr. Stone's job, to make sure that his client is ready for a match. I know that Mr. Stone is friends with Von Wagner. I know he's also Von Wagner's manager. And on both scales and both levels, he needed to step in and stop this match from happening. You saw in the match, Von Wagner was not ready. He was still feeling the issues with the injury. He should not have been in that match. And the fact that there was a post attack on Braun Breaker lies squarely on the shoulders of Mr. Stone. I think all the damage done to Von Wagner lies squarely on the shoulders of Mr. Stone. I think everything that happened that shouldn't have happened lies squarely on the shoulders of Mr. Stone. And I think that he needs to look in the mirror. And I think that Shawn Michaels needs to take a look at just what he's doing with his client.
Well, I don't really have a rebuttal for that because it does seem like reckless behavior, right? So we had the matchup that was essentially a no contest where Braun Breaker squished Von Wagner's head and Von Wagner had to go to physical therapy. Stone decides to have a match. He loses that one pretty easily. And now we have the rematch, or the second match, really, because that was really the first real match, and Braun Breaker gets the win. Now, if you're Braun, you've done the work. You basically dismantled these guys over weeks. Yeah, you went through two tables, but is your work done, or do you feel like something has to be cleared out before you move on to somebody else?
I think you need to take the decision away from Braun Breaker. I think you need to take the decision away from Von Wagner. I think you need to take it away from Mr. Stone. Von Wagner is not ready to be in the ring with someone like a Braun Breaker. And I don't mean that talent-wise. I mean that health-wise. I mean, he's injured still. He's still got the scar on the side of his head. He just had his whole head squashed.
Hey, look, the NXT medical staff is one of the best in the world. And he's medically cleared to compete. He should be able to be cleared to compete. If he's not 100%, he should have stayed home.
That is where Mr. Stone should have stepped in. Mr. Stone should have stepped in, should have said, hey, you're not ready. And in fact, we saw when they were talking about this match, Mr. Stone was hesitant. But instead of protecting his client, instead of protecting his friend, he allowed him to get into the ring with someone who was incredibly dangerous. And again, you saw that there were points in that match that Von Wagner wasn't fully there. I blame Mr. Stone.
Well, shout out to Vic Joseph with a line of the night. Quote, I don't care about my candy. Put him through a table. Something that should have been said last week because I thought that was so important.
That was absolutely my favorite line of the night. I'm glad you caught that as well.
All right, Vic. Bloodthirsty Saturday
Night. I know. By the way, we're like, why does he have a big basket of candy during this?
Granted, discount candy is the ish, but like, I don't know why he's in there eating it. Like, what's going on?
I wish you could hear him unwrapping it and like chewing. When it's like wrapper. Yeah. So, anyways, Booker T, what are your thoughts on Lola? Like,
he's ready for it. All right, Vic. You get to just. I have a good time. Well, elsewhere, we have ourselves a women's tag team action player due to the altercation backstage. Electra Lopez, Lola Vice, the hottest tag team in the division because Lola holds on to that NXT Women's Breakout Championship contract, and we're not sure which championship she is going to select against Roxanne Perez, the Prodigy, and Kalani Jordan, the finalists for the Women's Breakout Tournament who did not win, the first runner-up here. Tag team match was pretty much intense, but Kalani Jordan got the dub over Elektra. Interesting?
I think it's interesting, but probably not for a lot of the reasons people think.
Go on.
The first thing is, you know, Elektra Lopez and Lola Vice have been a great team. They've been getting a lot of wins, but the fact that Roxanne Perez and Kalani Jordan were able to beat them in this match tells me that Roxanne Perez and Kalani Jordan need to keep teaming. They might have something here that might get them to tag team title gold, which might be a great way to get onto that main roster and get in front of so many more eyeballs. I think Roxanne Perez and Kalani Jordan need to forget everything that they were working on previously and focus solely on being a tag team.
Well, that was my next question. I thought Roxanne Perez is better served in the tag team division, but once you get that world championship gold, you want to like go back to it. I know it's kind of the opposite of my complaints about Tiffany Stratton, but we have Roxanne Perez up and down all over that roster. Is there a lack of focus on her part there for the Prodigy?
Well, I think this should be that focus. I mean, yes, I get it. The NXT championship, that's the goal. That's what everyone wants. But like I said, the women's tag team championships are very unique in the fact that they give you free reign over all three brands. You can go to any of them. You can go to all of them. And if you're a Prodigy, if you're young like Roxanne Perez or Kalani Jordan, then the opportunity to be able to show what you can do to so many different people on so many different brands, get to know the different general managers. Once those contracts come up, once it's time to sign, look at the Creed brothers. Look what it's done for them. So I think that that's something that they should do because long term, that's going to help both of them to really skyrocket their career.
That actually raises a good question. If you're on NXT, the tag team championships is more valuable, you would assume, on some level than the women's championship together.
It's different. It's always different. I mean, the NXT championship is, of course, the pinnacle of that brand, and the NXT women's division is solid. So having that says a lot. But like I said, I think the mobility of them having the team, the tag team titles right now, which is different than the men's tag team title in NXT. Of course, the men's tag team title, you're there on NXT. Of course, you're featured. It's great. You make more money. You're the champion. But again, that women's tag team championship, there's something there where you can really have a, you know, for lack of a better term, a forbidden door to all brands that you can use anytime you want. You could be your own Doctor Strange, making portals, going wherever you want with those tag team titles.
It's like, Kalani, what are you doing? Oh, nothing.
Nothing.
another note here is the reemergence of the beauty queen, Ariana Grace, at the end of this matchup, saying, I guess, trying to go for world peace, it seems. But Carmen Petrovic said, nah, and knocked her out, saying, shut up. What's Carmen's problem?
I don't know. I liked Ariana Grace. I thought she was conveying a great positive message. I like that she saw that this was going to be a great tag team match, so she came out to watch it herself. I think that she did everything you want from someone in the locker room, and I don't know why people are hitting her from behind.
Yeah, what's up with that? Hopefully they get to solve the ring, because I would. But to me, it was kind of a cool note. We're getting more of the Women in the Breakout Tournament on the main roster, although being a beauty queen is not the way I would do it personally.
I mean, I don't know if you have a choice, Flobo. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's an option for you.
I'm just, hey, putting it out there. Nonviolence is how it works. so we saw the new NXT Women's Champion, Lyra Valkyria, just having a good time. No pyro, no giant cake. Just kind of like, I'm out here, I've been you. But Xia Li appears. Now, you know me, I'm a big Xia Li fan. A long, long time ago, I had a segment on AfterBuzz TV called Boo Thing of the Week, and Xia Li was the first one. But I have not seen Xia Li as intense as she has been over the past 10 days. And now she's at NXT saying, look, you hang out with Becky Lynch, you trash too. Snap.
Well, one of the reasons heroes wear masks, Flobo, is they don't want villains to target their friends and family. The problem is Becky Lynch doesn't wear a mask. So Xia Li knows who all of her friends and all of her family are. And Lyra Valkyria happens to be one of those people. Now, I love Xia Li's aggression. I love her proactiveness. I love that she's taking the fight to people. Now, look, a lot of people, they wait for their opportunities, as we've talked about before. A lot of people, they hope things go their way, or they try to get into these Iron Survivor matches, which you need to win a qualifier for, and then you need to win the Iron Survivor just so you get this title shot. Xia Li, she says, forget that. I'm cutting the line. I'm just going to go out there, and I'm going to challenge you face-to-face, and I'm going to beat up your friends. I'm going to beat up your mentors. This is how you get ahead, Flobo. I absolutely love that. Now, the thing is, Lyra Valkyria isn't just some Aunt May who's going to sit back while something happens. Lyra Valkyria is going to take your head off. So this is the kind of smoke I want to see. This is absolutely fantastic. I cannot wait to see what happens when these two let loose on each other.
I got a question. And I think about this, seeing how Shinsuke Nakamura went from being an afterthought about 6 months ago to being a very formidable challenger to the World Heavyweight Championship on Raw. Did you forget about Xia Li? And if you did forget about Xia Li these last 2 weeks, you think she has a chance of getting either championship?
I mean, she absolutely has a chance of getting either championship. She knocked out Becky Lynch with one kick. I mean, Becky Lynch, who, by the way, had her face broken by Nia Jax and still went on to take out Ronda Rousey, she couldn't take a kick from Xia Li. That's how powerful Xia Li's kicks are. So can she win? Absolutely.
Any other question? Did you forget about Xia Li? Like, did you forget about her? Did you guys work on the roster?
Like I forgot the question.
Yeah. It's coming out of nowhere, man. Like, look, I like Xia Li. I like her thing, but it just seems to me very random that decides today going, you know what? I'm sorry, kicking people in the face today.
Like, I mean, that's probably why she's doing what she's doing. I think we all forgot about her. I think she took that personally, and I'm glad she did.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope she does well. And I do see her as formidable.
You sound like you're trying to make it sound like she shouldn't be in this position.
Here's what I'm worried about. Xia Li, this is the best iteration I've seen her in. I liked her when she was on NXT the first time. I didn't really quite get the protector character on SmackDown because you can't be a superstar protecting other people. And that doesn't really make sense. But I am concerned. I am worried that there's going to be a hot streak for Xia Ling. She's going to go for the mountaintop. She won't get the championship, or her goals are going to be quelled, and we never see her again. There's some talents I want to be around long term. I worry about this being too fast, almost supernova fast.
I mean, you do never try to be a motivational speaker, Flobo. Can you imagine?
I never do.
Listen, don't try for greatness because you might fail, everybody. You don't want to fail. Like, don't try anything. It'd be horrible if you tried to be the champion and you fell
first.
Short.
You don't succeed, give up. It's not
of
for you.
Of course, she might fail. Everyone might fail. There's only a handful of people that get to be the champ, but the only way you're going to get to be the champ is you've got to believe you can do it and make it happen. And she's doing that better right now than anybody in all of pro wrestling. She went from nothing and she put her name immediately into the conversation through her sheer force of will. And that means that she has a chance.
Last question on this one. Xia Li, what's her ceiling? What do you see her as at the top? Main event of WrestleMania, NXT Women's Champion, comedy segment. I don't know.
I could see her being the NXT champion. I could see her being the next NXT champion.
Well, there you go. Well, I have some other questions I've seen on watching NXT. Help me out with this one, man, because you're a lot more smarter than me for the purpose of this bit, not in real life. So we
There's
saw
a lot of truth to that.
Oh, man, I'm awful. Don't agree. I feel bad. You're right, Lobo. I feel like a jerk.
That's why I talk loudly, Flobo, because I...
We're putting so much of blowhards, you know.
The rule is the louder you talk, the less you know. So that's
shout
why
out
I'm so loud.
To Mad Dog Chris Russo. So this week we saw another Joe Gacy promo, and he's going through some things, man. No one really understands him. What's going on in your estimation with your boy Joe Gacy?
I think that you owe Joe Gacy an apology because
I do, or you.
This is a guy that has needed help for a long time. And he's needed people to be there for him and to understand him. And people like you have sat around calling him weird and creepy and scary. And
you're just making
these situations even worse than it ever was before. And now he needs even more help. And I think that I just feel like you specifically should apologize for the way you've treated him.
Me.
Flobo Boys. No.
I am not, because you don't get to get an apology by having a camera zoom up your nostrils being like, why does everyone think I'm weird? Because you're being weird.
I mean, it got the Blair Witch Project to be one of the most successful films of all time.
You know what? That is totally in line with you watching Dawson's Creek back then. But more importantly, this is about dubs and changes.
The breadcrumbs of Jack's age are starting to...
Blair Witch, what's that? Boxing was Goldberg. On Joe, get off a match, do something like a hip toss, a snapmare, a headlock. Don't be like backstage be like, no one gives me any chance. Look at Wesley. That's actually my next question. Here is somebody who's almost notorious for doing that, but Wesley is back, is in the mix, is staring down Baron Corbin. He's putting seeds up for a new legacy. What are you doing, Joe Gacy, and what's Wesley doing?
I think that Baron Corbin is more important than ever after seeing that interview with Wesley. Wesley took a hard loss and he almost walked away, and he said he got his mind right and his body right, and I'm glad he did. But what does he do? He comes back and he's smiling. He's joking. He's dancing. He's having a good time. That's the same thing that cost him in the first place. What he needs to do is listen to Baron Corbin, who tells him to be serious, to take what he wants, and to not just waste his life dancing around. I think Baron Corbin is someone who is offering so much great advice to guys like Wesley, and Wesley is dancing it away. It really disappointed me.
Really? What do you want Wesley to be like? Hey, I found myself and I'm evil. Like, I don't understand. If he's a better person, if he's in a better place, why not show that? You know,
I'm not saying he should be evil. I'm just saying he needs to focus on getting wins, focus on dubs, not focus on being friendly and dancing. And I mean, look, you look at the people who've been successful over the past few years in NXT, right? Like Dragunov's not dancing around, having a good time. Braun Breaker's not dancing around. Well, he's conducting. That's a very
scary thing. My bad.
I mean, you look at Braun Breaker. Braun Breaker doesn't laugh and goof around and have a good time.
Yeah, just don't tell them a joke. Start doing that.
The Creed brothers, they just got signed. Are they known for joking around? No.
They did. They had a whole green screen thing when they were on a beach when they were fired. I mean, it was a good time. Remember that episode?
They traveled the world and got some culture, Flobo.
They did not get culture. They did not get culture. I swear to God. Okay, fine. I think Wesley is good. You think he's being unserious? Maybe you're right after a couple weeks because we've been here before. Although he's coming back more determined, and then he goes away again. But as for it right now, let the guy play.
He had weeks to play. He had months to play. The playing is done. Once you step into the parking lot, the most dangerous place in all of pro wrestling, and then if you make it inside, then you need to keep that same kind of seriousness if you want to be successful.
Amanda Russ says, I like West, but he does need to, but he needs more than Owen. But that's getting out of here. I got a couple more for you to probably get out. Brawling Brutes had a backstage. Oh, not backstage. They had a vignette that was supposed to be England, but it was clearly Orlando, Florida, but whatever. Calling out the mud. Now, I asked you this question about 3 weeks ago about the Brawling Brutes having an extended stay in NXT while Shane is on the shelf. I think we're seeing that now. Is that something you want to see, or do you think Lucian Price and Bronco Nima should have other priorities in play?
I love the idea of this fight. Brawling Brutes versus Out of the Mud, I think, is a great, great pairing. And I think it's going to be a hard-hitting slugfest. So I'm excited about the matchup. If I'm putting money down, I'm putting my money on OTM, though, without a doubt. And I'm not even worried about it. Brawling Brutes, they told us that they're not going to win this match. They come in and they say, listen, we like to fight. We've been doing it for a long time. We're tough. I've never questioned that. Never doubted that. Never doubted how tough they are. But then they say that there is like an honor among thieves. There's like a code of ethics. You don't attack people from behind. Well, guess what? OTM does. And I'm going to bet on the team that's willing to sink to new lows to get the win every day of the week. If Brawling Brutes aren't willing to do whatever it takes to win, then the team that is willing to do whatever it takes is going to get the win. So I got to go without the mud.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to root for Brawling Brutes, even though I'm a big fan after them losing a Donnybrook match against Pretty Deadly, which I'm not saying Pretty Deadly aren't a capable tag team, but the Donnybrook match is named after you. Like, you got to win this up named after yourself. Like, what are you doing? Like,
well, to me, neither of them is named Donnie or Brooke.
You know what I... Anyway, last question here. Dad jokes will kill us all, I swear to God. I am Thanksgiving. All right, so... Chase U had a little bit of a backstage introduction to, I think that's Big Ange. I'm not sure if that's the Ange from before or another Ange, but Big Ange shows up, serves some papers. JC Jane sees it, goes OMG. Andre Chase is scared, nervous, doing the emoting thing. What's going on with Chase U? Do you think it's a financing issue?
I mean, you can just cut the sexual tension between Andre Chase and JC Jane with a knife.
Oh, please don't. No, don't cut
those
tension.
Two.
Keep the tension. No, please. No.
Those no. two. I no. mean, I'm just seeing fireworks, Flobo. Please, aren't you?
No, it's rated PG. We don't see any fireworks. Nope.
If this were The Bachelor, I know who'd be getting a rose. These two are absolutely just the chemistry. Palpable, Flobo.
No, I think me and Big Ange has more crazy chemistry than Andre Chase and JC Jane. Are you kidding me?
I was going to say that, but you didn't ask. So,
I mean, hey, Ange, if you're single, holler at me. The documents, Jack. What you focus on? What's the documents?
I thought it was kind of weird that all this happened in front of the entire class and no one said anything.
Yeah, class is missed. Oh?
What? Like, it was very weird, like, It almost felt like one of those things where someone talks trash and then they go, they're standing right behind me, aren't they? Like, yeah. The whole class saw everything that happened and no one chimed in or said, hey, this is weird. Or
yeah, Miss Jane, why are you talking to yourself? Why are you taking their documents? It was the most weirdest end to that whole segment.
But. Yeah, talking to yourself about our teacher and what you're going to do to him, but no one thinks to warn Chase. I feel like that might be a reflection of Andre Chase's leadership, though.
Is this school accredited? I'm starting to think it's not. I really am.
Or any of them.
Thanks. But lastly, the document. What do you think is happening?
I hope it was that all the student loans are going to be forgiven if you went to Chase University.
He's like, oh, man. Oh, no. Forgiven loans. Oh, man. I like that. That's awesome. Well, I do think that that does give your boy Tony D and Stax a rematch for whatever reason for the tag team championships. And I do think with that leverage, psychological or otherwise, they may walk away with the dub next week. So early prediction there. Do you think that we're going to have a new champion after next week?
I do. I think that Tony D and Stax are going to be the champions once again. And the reason is because they got their heads straight. You know, I mean, first off, we see Chase Yu clearly in disarray. I mean, clearly Andre Chase is feeling some kind of way about JC Jayne and he can't get over that. But I look at Tony D and Stax. This is how straight they've got everything. They're delivering their contract professionally in an envelope in advance. They're handling all their business the way you're supposed to handle business. And I'm not even talking in a, you know, in a quote unquote kind of way. I mean, this is how you actually do business. I got a feeling that all those documents were notarized even. I think that this was done absolutely properly. That tells me that Tony D and Stax know exactly what they're doing and they're going to get the win.
I like that there's a possibility a family with extra business sends someone a stack of papers. You're like, oh, yeah, notarized it in triplicate. Now it's pretty professional. And you don't know. You know what? There used to be three guys in Tony Angelo's group. Now it's only two. And that's for a reason. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Probably needed to get a notary or something. I don't know.
Yes, that's what saves lives. Notaries. Trains and calls. Episode 125. Every week we get together, talk about NXT. Always a good time. Thank you so much for checking out this episode. If you haven't already, make sure you drop a 5-star like and comment and subscribe on all podcasting platforms. It means the world to us, especially me, because without your 5 stars, I don't feel validated in life. But before we get out of here, I've got to ask Jack my other part of the show. It's the MVP of NXT. This is the person that stuck out for you the most on this week's episode. Who is your MVP?
Xia Li. Xia Li, like I said before, she skipped the need to go through a Iron Survivor qualifier, skipped the need to go through the Iron Survivor match itself, and she has put herself number one contender front runner to that championship. And she did it without having to win a single match. I think that's smart. I think that it's effective. And I think that it took her from being someone, as alluded to before, as being completely forgettable to someone who is now in the spotlight.
You know what? Can't disagree with that one 100%. We are in alignment, or as my broadcast colleague Jack Farm would say, we're parking our cars in the same garage. Xia Li, MVP as well. DrapedInGold.com. Make sure you tell a friend about the show. It means the world to me. But enough about me rambling. I want to hang out with you, Jack. If I want to follow you online, if I want to book you, if I want a novelty 8x10 or 11x17 photo of you, how to go about doing that?
You can go to @RealJackFarmer across all social media. And if you go to my website, JackCFarmer.com, I even sell some t-shirts. So you can buy some merch if you'd like.
Jack C. Farmer. What's the C stand for?
Cobra.
Jack Cobra Farmer, ladies and gentlemen. JackCFarmer.com. TrendyGold.com. We'll be back here next Wednesday. I'm so glad you guys make this part of your podcasting diet. But until next time, Jay Farm to the words.
Do your best and be yourself.